Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. No and live.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Talk podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
Fantastic, and I'll tell you why. Because yesterday I came into the office with my main Christmas present to myself, my new pair of jeans. And I thought, these jeans look great on my ass. I've got a fine figure in this pair of denim. And the whole day, even though they're incredibly uncomfortable, they are still very starchy and I'm finding it hard to sit down in certain ways. Going to the toilet, sitting down, is really difficult.
Oh, yeah.
I have to push my legs together because the denim doesn't stretch that way when it's all bunched up.
Are you wearing them now? Are these your new jeans?
These are the new jeans.
They're very nice jeans.
So what I end up doing is sort of Buffalo Billing myself. Which is, you know.
Goodbye, horses.
Which is quite problematic from just a cleanup perspective.
Yeah.
And see, toilet chat always comes back to that. And I got home and the first thing my lady partner asked me was, did anyone mention your new jeans? Because that was the first day. And I said no. Not one of the boys mentioned my new jeans.
Would you notice if Laurie was wearing a new pair of jeans?
Maybe.
Well, that's it, isn't it? So I don't think we're not the sort of people that would notice. I'm not saying that men wouldn't notice this because that's a horrible generalization. But I certainly think within our office, no, not one of us are the sort of people that would notice.
Look, you're off the hook. We know your issues with jeans.
Yeah.
Pete, cut from the same cloth, I think.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Same, you know, sweatshop cloth.
I think he's worse than I am.
Simon and Laurie. You know, Simon's effectively a model.
Yeah, they're fashionable chaps.
And Laurie was our model for yes. The WrestleTalk merch shop. Please go buy some merch.
But they don't ever say to us, that's a new pair of whatever.
Laurie's not one to compliment, is he? Yeah. But why do you think I was doing so many breakout sessions while I was standing up in front of you all?
You always do breakout sessions where you're standing in front of us, looking down on us all like the plebeians that we are.
Anyway, today I was, you know, sort of, I'm wearing them in. They're still very uncomfortable, but that's the price to look good.
Mm-hmm.
No lemon, no melon.
No melon. As we established on last week's show. Yeah, yeah.
And I'm upstairs with a very snappy dresser named Cookie. Sounds like I've made him up. That's his name.
He's
called
name?
Cookie. He sort of runs our merch stuff. And he said, nice jeans, man. Real good weave. I was like, it is a good weave, isn't it?
Weave's a hair thing, isn't it?
Well, I think it's the weave of denim. I don't know if you can see this. It's tight. And, I mean, these were expensive jeans. You would swear.
Don't even.
If I told you how much.
Don't even.
Because, you know, Christmas present. But you see how I've turned them up at the bottom?
Yes.
So that's because, apparently, jeans, if you're doing it right, they have to be made. These were hand-finished in the shop for me. What
happened? Bloody hell!
I live next to a jean-making factory.
Yeah.
And I went in there. That's what happened.
Yeah.
So this is a lifelong pair. They'll repair them for the rest of our lives. It's called an atelier. A jean maker, a sort of, not what's the word, like a, not a knitter.
A Scooby-Doo, mate.
You know, the people with the, you know, industrial sewing.
Cool. We'll call it that.
That for denim is called an atelier.
We actually have got, there was a fashion person, it was a fashion student, wasn't he, who emailed in because they were very annoyed at my lack of expenditure on clothes. So they'll be able to email in and tell you how wrong you are.
Well, yeah, hopefully so. And he said you have to have the leg 2 inches longer than what I had it on as, because on the first wash, it's going to shrink by 2 inches. Yeah, lengthwise. But it will expand.
I get that problem in the cold.
It will expand by an inch widthwise.
Oh, wow.
So what I had to do is buy something over Christmas when I'm at my plumpest that was 1 inch thinner than I intended to be for the rest of the year. I haven't been able to put them on until yesterday.
Oh, okay.
But yet now the compliments are starting to come in.
You've had that one compliment.
I went downstairs and then Alex complimented me too.
Did he really?
He was like, nice jeans, mate. I was like, thank you.
So, yeah. I mean, they are nice jeans, like, you know.
Can't breathe. So, sorry, that's a very long-winded way of saying, yes, I'm doing all right.
Good.
How are you?
I'm okay, man. I'm doing just as well, I guess. I've had these jeans now for a few months, and they're doing fine. But we've had this email, and I thought you'd be interested in.
Oh, this is the one that you mentioned in the office earlier.
No, this is a different one. This one actually was going to do on last week's episode, but we got talked about Petrolgate. No, this one comes in from Ewan, the leader of the New World Disorder.
McDonald's.
Indeed, yes. Who says, hi, guys. On January 18th, I'm going to be making my professional wrestling debut in the Rev Pro Contenders Rumble at the Mountbatten Centre in Portsmouth.
Fantastic.
I feel like I have you guys to thank in a really roundabout way.
Well, not a roundabout way, Ewan. A direct way. We've made that happen. We know people.
You guys ranting and raving about Lee versus Ishii made me interested in RevPro, which led me to go to my first indie show, which hooked me on RevPro and invigorated my passion for wrestling. This led to me going to more shows on a consistent basis, leading up to High Stakes 2019, which of course had Pac versus Ospreay, which made me and my best mate literally bite the bullet and go to RevPro's Portsmouth School of Wrestling, which now close to 11 months has led to me getting this opportunity. Without you guys constantly putting over what an amazing match and all about the New World Discord is encouraging me throughout my training so far, I definitely wouldn't have got to this point, so thank you. If anyone wants to come see my debut in the giant 40-man rumble and see stars like Bullet Club's Hikaleo,
the really, really tall guy,
and Mox's little buddy Shota Unumo, they can come ask me on Discord so I can get commission, or go to revolutionprowrestling.com. Keep up the consistent work. The leader of the New World Discord, Ewan.
Well, what a lovely thing. Rev Pro, what a fantastic British promotion. And, well, you know, it's been a rough time for British independent wrestling promotions, as we've talked about in the last couple of, months / years, because of what WWE have done to the scene. But RevPro are still standing strong. And you know who else is in there? Rampage Brown. Yes. Rampage returned to Progress over the weekend.
I know. What an amazing.
Oh,
my God.
Oh, my God.
Incredible. It's so good.
I honestly cannot recommend Rampage Brown enough.
No.
He's just watching him wrestle. It's like two levels of enjoyment. First off, you completely believe it's real. Because as we have direct experience with, he kind of is.
Yeah, yeah.
He lays it in thick.
Oh, yeah. He is not a fan of slapping.
No.
He is not a fan of the knee slap.
He makes that sound with the actual connections.
Yes.
Not by hitting another part of his body. And it's like you get that enjoyment from it just being fantastic wrestling. But like fantastic, not throwback, that's wrong, but it's not flippy stuff. It's just everything looks real.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, it's kind of similar to William Regal. It might not be stretchy and stuff, but it's got that intensity.
Yeah, yeah.
But then on top of that, it's just, I feel so at ease watching him. This is a bad comparison, but it's like listening to Adele sing.
Mm.
Because I know she's going to hit all the notes. And I find comfort in that.
On that note, we had this email from Jacob Matthews. You might remember this conversation we had from last year. He said, what's up, WrestleTalk team? I'm emailing about bands I just don't get.
Ooh.
It's funny because me and my girlfriend made a big list of these type of bands a couple of months ago. Mostly people we don't think deserve to be big or as famous as they are. We came up with a lot, but I'll give you my top three and why. Number one, a band called Rat. Two C's.
Never heard of them.
No, never heard about them. But I have heard of these next two. Number two, the President of the United States of America.
Nope, never heard of them either.
What? 90s? No. She's lump, she's lump, she's lump, she's in my...
Nothing.
They had an amazing... Their self-titled album from 94 is, I think, is brilliant. Mm. I think it's a work of genius, actually. So I completely disagree with Jacob here. I think they are terrific, particularly that album. Some of the other stuff they've done since, I'm not as keen on, but I do think their self-titled album, which had Lump and Peaches on it, is a incredible album.
Wait, how does Peaches go?
Millions of peaches, peaches for me.
Yeah, I know that one.
I'm moving to the country, I'm going to eat a lot of peaches.
Don't know that bit of that song.
Okay.
But I know the chorus. I mean, that's
actually the main part.
Oh, right.
Millions of peaches comes right at the end.
Oh.
Anyway, he says, the name is too gosh darn long and their lyrics are stupid and their sound is extremely generic. Whoa. I don't think you can say their sound is generic when no one else sounds like them. Surely that makes them unique.
Mm.
I would, you know, if you want to use unique as a derogatory word, then fine, go ahead. But to say they are generic, I think is...
So to argue that, maybe what you mean is bland. Because, for instance, everyone sounds like Ed Sheeran now.
Mm-hmm.
But before everyone sounded like Ed Sheeran, only Ed Sheeran sounded like Ed Sheeran. But he was still bland.
But I would, okay. I would argue though that no one sounded like the President of the United States of America, and no one still sounds like him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, as for the
maybe
title,
it's just bland then.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
As for the name, it's Pot User.
Oh right.
That's where it's a joke to be Pot User. Anyway, in all the I'm all for comedy bands like Tenacious D and The Beards, but these guys seem to take themselves seriously. I really don't think that's the case. Their most popular song, Lump, is so generic and bad. And their lyrics just suck. They really don't. Whenever they come on the radio, I immediately change the station. Now, I want to find out what radio station you're listening to where presidents of the United States of America are still getting airplay.
Maybe it's
because
their
Spotify. Because it's not 1994 anymore.
Yeah, maybe it's their Spotify radio station.
Maybe. Number one, and this is a band I can completely get on board with, Guns N' Roses.
Oh, yeah, but when Sweet Child of Mine comes on at the club, you're going to be singing.
Specifically,
I have actually seen you drunkenly air guitar with your eyes closed in the World's End in Camden to a Guns N' Roses song.
It's almost impossible to not to, particularly when it comes to certain tracks. But I do not like their music.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, I agree. Like, when the big hitters come on, I'm like, oh, yeah. But, you know, you get, like, I've got a few friends who just love that kind of hair rock genre.
Yeah.
And they love every single thing. I once had a huge argument that Chinese Democracy was, you know, a crap album.
Well,
and
that's
not technically
it is.
A Guns. And, yeah, and he was arguing it's brilliant.
But anyway, my point I've always had about Guns N' Roses is that, do you know what? Welcome to the Jungle is a banging track. Sweet Child of Mine is a banging track. November Rain is a banging track. I'm never going to listen to them.
Like, they're on.
If they're on, sure. But I will never go out of my way to listen to them because I do not like their songs, and I do not like Axl Rose in particular.
Yeah.
I find his voice very irritating. I once supported a Guns N' Roses tribute act, and it was genuinely one of the worst gig experiences I've ever had.
I remember when their music videos would come onto Kerrang back in the day, I'd be like, oh God, that's 6 minutes. You know, because there's
that's just
long
the solo
songs. Yeah.
Anyway, he says, specifically Axl Rose. He's completely carried by his other bandmate. He's the most annoying voice in rock, especially when he tries to sing at a low register. Their cover of Live and Let Die is trash. Patience is utter garbage. And Knocking on Heaven's Door is annoying that it triggers me thinking about it. Stop it all off. Axl is just a straight up head. From ending concerts early, he's not even showing up to being outright egomaniac. Definitely one of my least favorite bands simply because of him. Thanks for reading my email. Thank you for shortening the intro of the podcast. Have we?
Maybe well, a sound just happened where the camera appeared to close its shutter.
Yeah.
So let's go into the main bit.
We'll go into the main show while Ollie just quickly goes and has a check of that. I think he might have meant the podcast, like the song. But anyway, here's the show. Ollie's got some fantasy booking warfare he'd like to do about John Moxley, but he doesn't really know what it is. Here is the show.
here is what actually happened on last night's AEW Dynamite, the main event angle, which has been built up for a month, no less. One that was meant to pay off last week, but Moxley said, no, I've got to, you know, I'm going to give my answer next week after the whole New Japan Wrestle Kingdom stuff.
To Jericho in person.
Because I respect him so much, I wanted to be face-to-face. Which was a bit like, you kind of promoted
so the,
it for
the crowd
episode.
Booed because you had promoted they were going to give the answer. Like, they, we said, we'll give you the holidays. We expect our answer on the first episode after New Year.
And the answer is to Jericho's proposition of Moxley joining joining the Inner Circle and becoming a 49% co-owner.
Yes, so that's how it got extended last week, because he was meant to give an answer last week. Instead, Jericho had a video package because he wasn't there in the building. He'd already gone to Japan, where he said, yeah, we're going to make you a 49% owner of Inner Circle LLC, and we've bought you this millions upon millions of dollars car or something.
A Ford GT or something. You know, it's Tony Khan's dad's car.
Is it really?
They were going to rent a very expensive-looking Lamborghini thing, but Tony Khan's dad, who reportedly is really into AEW. apparently he thought it was a bit of a gamble at the start, and he didn't really get it, but now he's like, this is great, love it. Yeah, so he was like, take my car. And that's the car they used.
It's a Ford car.
Yeah, it's a car. It's a fast car.
A blue fast car.
And Mox said, I'll answer you this week. So that was the build-up to this week's main event angle. And Jericho, Sammy Guevara, and Jake Hager came down to the ring. Not the full Inner Circle, I would have liked.
I don't think Santana and Ortiz were there.
Well, make them be there. What else more important do they have to do than...
They might have had indie bookings.
Yeah, well, yeah, as we've seen. AEW are too nice. So Jericho, Guevara, and Hager come down to the ring. They've got a sort of table with some bubbly to celebrate.
And it's Jericho's bubbly as well.
And Jericho, he's the one who introduces Moxley.
Yeah.
We were robbed of a John Roberts.
Justin Roberts.
Yeah,
the deal. Yeah, so, like, they put it over as well that the pair of them, Jericho and Moxley, had big weekends. Big weekends. They kept putting over the Tokyo Dome. And yeah, saying, and Jericho himself said, you know, we're two guys. We all won our matches at the Tokyo Dome in Japan. And as he's coming out to make his entrance, Jericho's giving him the big introduction. No US title belts on Moxley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting.
Which a few people were expecting there to be. But he came out and Jericho said, there's going to be a big party. We're going to have a wicked party when you all join the Inner Circle and none of you are invited. It's all good, very good heel stuff. And then Mox says that, like, hey, Jericho, you know, you've offered me 49% share. You've offered me this car. You've offered me all this money. You clearly don't know me at all. None of that means anything to me. I didn't come to AEW because someone brought a truckload of cash to my house. I came here to change the wrestling landscape. And I'm going to do that by joining Inner Circle.
Mm.
I say yes. The crowd suddenly didn't really know how to react to it. We're like, okay. And he took off his jacket to reveal. He was wearing an Inner Circle t-shirt. I loved Jericho and Sammy's selling of this. Like, they were hugging and high-fiving because they got Mox to join. Thought it was actually a lot of fun.
Mm.
Overall, I thought the segment went far too long. I think they didn't need to do two rounds of celebration.
It was about 10 minutes long overall.
Didn't need to be 10 minutes
five
long.
5 minutes of material.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was 5 minutes of material stretched out over 10, and it really felt like it.
Mm.
And then they do sort of two rounds of celebrations. Moxley was sort of healing it up, like getting with Jericho's back and being like, hey, don't you tell him he sucks. And all this sort of stuff. And then when Sammy and Hager left the ring, he said, oh, by the way, I've got one more thing to tell you. I'm just kidding. Your group is stupid. You're stupid. And he smashed a bottle over his head, gave him the paradigm shift. Jericho's telling me it was amazing. Paradigm shift to Sammy. Hager gets in the ring. Moxley bails, tears off the t-shirt, walks through the crowd. And he celebrates because he got the car key.
Mm. So that's what happened. And that was that the closing image of Dynamite was Moxley in the crowd with the car keys being like, yeah, sports car. It isn't because that's... I know, like, it's more, oh, I've got one over on Jericho. But it was also a bit sports car. That didn't jar with me.
Yeah. Extinction Rebellion are going to be really mad about
this.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, the people who share my logo. So I enjoyed this segment, but this was an angle that's been built up for over a month. It's been the biggest thing on AEW for a while
now. It's
their
main title picture.
Yeah, and I just thought this is the payoff. I was like, I love all the people in there. I enjoyed it, but I was almost forcing myself to enjoy it.
Do you know what I would say? This segment was less over than Marco stunt.
Mm, yeah,
that crowd were way more into Marco Stunt flossing than they were Moxley faking out in a circle.
Yeah, and I think the guys in the ring knew it because Jericho knows how to work a crowd, and that's it was a bit desperate. He turned to the crowd at one point and was like, "Did you say I sucked?"
Yeah,
and everyone's like, "Nah." And then he like tried to egg them on to chant, "You suck."
Yeah,
you suck.
Well, they got a "you sold out" chant, but it almost felt like the crowd were doing it out of politeness.
Yeah,
just felt like I suppose we should do that. Mm. Like that's what they want us to do.
I did like the visual of Moxley hitting Jericho in the face with a bit of the bubbly bottle.
Mm-hmm.
That's perfect. That makes total sense in the story. Great visual. I also liked Mox running away from Hager.
Yeah,
because that really keeps Hager strong. Mox doesn't lose anything really. So, remember, I liked it. This is just, but I felt it left
your
a lot
AEW
on the table.
Bias.
I feel like it left a lot on the table, and actually had that one quite jarring image of Moxley valuing material worth.
Yeah,
I know there's an argument that might not be the case. He's just doing it to get in Jericho's head, but I think there's a better way to do it. Here is how.
Yeah. Okay. No. You make your point. I'll quickly write it down because I was going to say something about the keys.
So you do everything. Moxie comes into the ring and he sort of builds it up like he did, and then he says, "And that's why I'm going to join in a circle." Right. Everything's normal. First off, I felt like the crowd went into it because it was predictable, and Jericho's selling of Mox's react of accepting, I actually thought, made it more predictable. I think Jericho should have been then like, you what? Like, Jericho should never have thought that Moxley was going to agree.
But I think Jericho as a character thinks that, well, of course you're going to join. Look at this great offer I've made you. So like him reacting, it's not going to be like that surprised me. It's more like a, well, of course you joined. Look at this amazing offer.
But there's that, but I think for the dynamics for the rest of it, it'll be more to get the crowd into it. So Jericho's then like, did you say you join? And Moxie's like, yeah. And then he's like, wait, so that's like the first bit of getting the crowd in. And then I think this would really help Moxie get heat. He says, I came here to, you know, to change wrestling, and I want to take out Cody. I want to take out the Young Bucks. I want to take out Kenny Omega. Get him railing on a few beloved fan, like people from the fans. Mm-hmm. So then the fans start to boo him as well.
Now, probably say Marco Stunt.
Yeah. So then you've got some actual heat, hopefully, in theory, because trying to get a "you suck" chant wasn't working. So, yeah, do the equivalent. Even a hometown heat thing didn't work. Jericho did a Memphis line, and no one really reacted to that.
Yeah.
So have this all, have the celebration. Don't do it twice. Make it a lot more condensed. What I really felt, that the end reveal was the real big problem here. It just wasn't dramatically impactful enough. So you do the thing where they're all celebrating. Jericho's overjoyed because secretly in his head, oh, I didn't know it was going to happen. Woohoo, it's the cocky, arrogant heel. And then Mox is like making sort of everyone celebrate towards the hard cam. And that's when you get that shot of dramatic irony. When Mox is standing behind Jericho, the facial expression changes. He takes one swig of the champagne bottle and then turns it into a sort of mallet, some kind of mallet position.
Yeah.
And that's when he hits Jericho over the head. I don't know what you do with Sammy and Hager.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, Jericho's down. He's like, oh no, I've been betrayed. And everyone's like, yes, Moxley, you're with us. We always kind of knew that, but this was a good journey we went on. And then Moxley gets the keys, holds it in front of Jericho's face. You know, Jericho's like, no. And then Moxley throws them into the crowd. That's the bit. Because then Moxley is then again a man of the people. He doesn't care about material worth. What's like, I think that's a lot more impactful than the next. I'm worried that the next couple of weeks is, I've got your car. Whoa. Which is a bit like rubbish WWE. It fits in with that whole 80s style of booking, which Cody loves as well. I'm not as much of a fan of that sort of stuff.
So my counter to that is my bit of fantasy booking is not for this segment, it's for next week.
Okay.
Which is, it's holding the car hostage and you Austin this whole situation. Like, what meant more to Triple H apart from the WWF Championship was the DX Express. So what did Austin do? He blew it up. It was Vince McMahon loved his car. So Austin poured cement into it. You do that sort of thing. You have Moxley blow up the car.
Mm.
And that, but you and have that as your Austin moment.
I think that will be a bit gimmicky. Maybe it will work.
But no, I mean, it's totally gimmicky.
Yeah, yeah. Because that car hasn't been built up as something that's Jericho's. It was bought as a gift for Moxley. So I don't think that personal connection's there. It's only got 1 week of storyline by that point, the actual car as a plot device. I hope they don't do that. I think the car is either going to be dropped or it's going to be used as this kind of, look, we've got your car. Ha ha. Mm. Here's me driving around. I'm like, don't want Moxley to be that kind of heel. Mm-hmm. I think that's quite hokey.
It's not a heel, it's a babyface.
Sorry. Yeah, you're totally right. I don't want him to be that kind of badass tweener babyface, because that is then treading towards the hokey S word, which he said that he hated in WWE. It's nowhere near as bad as that stuff. I mean,
it worked when Austin did it, but that was also, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So times have changed. It's a different world now. It might work. It might also not. But like, we have seen that if there's one thing that Cody loves, it's going back to WCW and that sort of era of stuff. Maybe it's something they'll try.
Yeah. I'm just trying to flip through. So Flint Mech has just super chatted in to say, Meltzer said the car actually belongs to Shad Khan, Tony Khan's dad, which I said at the start. Not sure they'll blow it up.
Well, you can blow up a different car. Like, it's movie magic.
Yeah, cut back, different car.
Like, you know, that wasn't really Vince's limo when it blew up. Vince wasn't really in the limo when it blew up either.
A lot of people saying Spinorama 29. I love that ending.
Aside from it going too long, I really enjoyed the segment because I thought everyone selling of it was really fun.
Mm. I thought it all felt a bit off. Mm. Not just how long it went. But I like the idea. I thought the execution fell flat.
I don't think the crowd were massively into it. I will say that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I give a thanks to our special $25 and above pledge hammers on Patreon. And when you do pledge at that amount, you get your name shouted out in a WrestleTalk live episode by these two handsome devils right here. But you'll also get all of our extra bonus content, like our drunk cast that we do at the end of the month. And we're going to be reviewing WWF Royal Rumble 2001 for WrestleTalk Extra at the next week. I think we're going to start recording it. A show I've got a lot of fond memories for. Mm. And despite the fact that I was way into Austin, I just wanted Kane to win.
Well, we've got to really go fast because we haven't set up a
post. Oh my God, you're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah. So
we'll get to your super chats right after these.
Yo, Adrian, Rocky.
Whoa, yeah. Bad connection. Thomas liked it.
It's my favorite. Ooh. Leader of the boys, Dalton Sizemore.
Whoa. The incredible Tarzo.
Nice. Jeremy Spoken. Claire Smith.
The man who wears the gold, the man recognized by SWAF Nation International as the 24/7 champion, our legend.
Nice. Whoa. The redneck, Dennis Hicks.
Yeah. Michael Plowman, that's his name. That name again is Mr. Plowman.
Michael Plowman. There it is. Big bad Blake Lloyd. Whoa.
Martin Santoy, you're talking to me.
Are you talking to me? You nearly finished the Irishman now. Courtney, just taking you 3 days. Courtney Travis Webb.
Thank you very much. And I think he's talking to you. Damian Thompson.
It's two Simpsons references. Yay. Nice. Thanks.
Thank you. Super Chats to see what you guys thought.
Indeed. Well, Jobba JJ on this main topic of conversation, it says, Super Chat Party! I guess Moxley declined the Inner Circle because no Mitch the Plant. Cassidy and Luchasaurus stare down was awesome.
Oh, it was. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
Jobba JJ also says that DDP promo was great. Him wrestling at Bash on the Beach almost 20 years since the last time is a great story. No shoot promos, please. LOL. Yeah, Tim Arndt says, what do you guys think of Dave Brown on commentary? My thoughts were, oh yeah, I forgot he was behind the desk.
I'm glad you said that because I was worried you were going to say, oh, he was really good. I was kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't really contribute anything.
No, he was just there to be like, here he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've had that before as well, actually, where they've had sort of like, here is a local person to do commentary, provide commentary for this match. They say nothing and then off they go.
Didn't they do it with Cracker Barrel? They had like a Cracker Barrel guy.
I feel like it was on
commentary.
It was definitely on Dynamite.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who it was. It was probably like the mayor or something.
Yeah. Slamtown.
Flame Inc. says, would DDP wrestle for AEW next week? Blacklist him with WWE. Also, for someone who is 63 years old, he looks amazing and has the body to wrestle again. That is DDPY.
It's not your mum's yoga.
It is not your mama's yoga. And Phoenix says...
Should we answer whether it would blacklist WWE? No, I don't think so. I think WWE would take him back in a heartbeat.
It would actually just make them want him more.
Yeah.
They'd probably offer him, like, they'd find another way to give him a Hall of Fame ring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, we'll put the insiders, the tag team act, into the Hall of Fame.
But I don't think TDP would do that. He doesn't need... He might do it for a respect for the business kind of thing. Like, if it's a Hall of Fame offering. But... you know, he loves the Rhodes family.
He loves Cody, indeed, yeah. Yeah, yeah, you know, and Dusty, and absolutely. We'll do one more. This comes from Phoenix, who says, first Statlander match I've seen. She is legit great, but Brandy is so bad, it's funny. Her insults on commentary were so cringe. I couldn't work out whether they were supposed to be bad.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm doing bad comedy, but I'm doing it on purpose, and I know it's bad comedy. I couldn't tell if it was that, or it's just legit bad.
If you can't tell, it's probably just bad.
Yeah,
because you'll laugh if they're doing it in a bad way on purpose. It's bad. You'll eventually laugh because it will be funnily awkward. But if it's awkwardly awkward, that's no good.
I mean, based on how all the rest of the Nightmare Collective stuff is done, I'm just going to assume it's bad because it's trash television.
We've just got a few more to get through, so let's just do those before we hop onto the full play-by-play. Green Bean 78, I give AEW 6 out of 10.
But we mark things out for fun.
Yeah, that's not far. It's 3 out of 5.
Yeah.
Phoenix, thank you very much for your
generous donation.
In Australian dollars, I believe.
Yeah.
It's a swaffed under member. I hope you're doing okay. Hot take. This was my fave AEW episode so far. This is because I found it consistently entertaining. It didn't have a best AEW segment, but it just entertained me consistently, whereas past shows, not so much.
That's an interesting take, actually. Like I said, my about 4 minutes reviews, which I don't think has gone live just yet, but I said in that I called it a solid show. Like it was, aside from the Nightmare Collective, this was just solid, furthering storylines, furthering characters, salt and peppering things a little bit here and there. Nothing big, nothing major, just solid.
Yeah.
It was a solid 3 out of 5.
I agree. And, we might stop doing these AEW versus NXT polls because it's funny. I can see the comments now. Oh, you're stopping those things when NXT keeps winning. But I just don't... I feel like they're not really telling us anything anymore. At the start, it was useful. But interestingly, when we... So which show was better? We asked on the community tab. 64% said NXT. 36% said AEW Dynamite.
Which is interesting because when we came into the office today, Laurie's reaction to NXT was, eh.
Yeah.
It felt like that was almost both shows' reaction was, eh, that's good.
But then they were like, well, what would you give it? And he was like, low 4. So Laurie's got a different facial expression registered to the rest of us. But pre-Survivor Series, that really was the turning point, that go-home NXT show. Every week was 50%.
Yeah,
so it was like 50%
really
between the two, a couple of percent here and there in it. And then post-Survivor Series, NXT has been winning with at least 60% of the share.
Well, we've got a Patreon mailbag on tomorrow's show, which I think is actually quite interesting because I think it's almost telling of sort of a wider picture. And it's from one of our Patreon pledgehammers that has said, like, AEW is not the show I was expecting it to be, and I'm disappointed. And I do think that AEW was just this very big, grand idea, and everyone was expecting it to be this whiz, pang, bop, you know, oh my God, like everything is just like, it's a 5 out of 5 show every single week. And because it's not a 5 out of 5 show every week, people have just been like, actually, do you know what? It's actually a bit disappointing.
It's also a case of before something actually happens, it's everyone's perfect vision. Like, everyone's got their own preconceptions of what they want that show to be. This isn't my perfect version of AEW. I thought it was going to be New Japan in the US.
Yeah.
That's not what it is. It's more of a being the elite thing. So if you really thought it was going to be something different, I can see why people would turn
completely
off.
Absolutely.
And turn against it. But yeah, that's those ones. We just had a few super chats come in on the fancy booking, so I'm curious to see how things gone down. Nate drops surname. What if Jericho yells he wants his car back and Moxley just has a casual throwaway line of, your car? Oh, I sold that piece of junk. So now,
I feel like there needs to be something visual with the car. Like, a throwaway line is certainly a way to get rid of it, but I think it needs that visual element.
Yeah. Vincent17601, catchy. Try that for his PIN number, everyone. Narrative-wise, the car is incredibly expensive and the Inner Circle are out a lot of money. As Jericho said, they pitched in to buy it, so it would make sense for Mox to rub it in their faces.
Exactly, yeah.
Totally.
And apparently it's like millions of dollars, which I think is effing stupid to spend on a car. But that's just me.
I think that's what's going to happen. That's not a storyline that connects with me. So I think it's, I wouldn't. Let's go in to the full play-by-play review of the show. I love the opening package.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. Really, really good stuff.
It got over how the Elite were sort of back on top last week. A storyline that really should never have been a thing. They should have been winning and in the main event and openers from the get-go. But now we're here now, so good. And then it also recapped the Jon Moxley-Jericho stuff.
Basically set up, here are your two big things you need to know about. It's the Elite being the Elite, or becoming re-elite, and Moxley joining in a circle. There was a really, really nice tight video package that then played into the opening match, which was Hangman Page and Kenny Omega versus Private Party. We found out that Hangman Page was not going to give Private Party the $12 that they own for that drink, which I think is a silly price to pay for a drink. $12? There wasn't a lot of drink in it.
It looked like a hotel bar, though.
If I went to a hotel bar and they tried to charge me $12 for a single drink, I'd throw something at them.
Yeah. So I thought this match was awesome.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
Look at the talent involved.
Yeah, that was great.
I love Paige and Omega as a team.
They have got wicked tag team chemistry.
Oh my God. Yeah, they're just seamless. The chops.
I love the push into the German suplex.
In this one, there was the buckshot lariat.
V-trigger.
Going into the front of you with a V-trigger to the back of the head.
I've rewatched that because TDE put it up on Twitter as a GIF. I've watched it so many times. It's brutal.
It's just brilliant stuff.
Quinn's selling of it was amazing as well. Of essentially just like, he died. Like, his soul left his body and he crumpled to the floor.
That is enough to make me into them as a team. And they've, like, over the last 3 weeks, with no real storyline stuff, we just know that they're friends. They have made them feel like a real tag team unit. And fantastic work by them. And they've done such a good job that I am really invested in their breakup storyline.
I think Hangman is doing amazing work in this feud.
Incredible.
His selling throughout the matches has just been just great. Like, next level good. Because he is on the same page as Omega.
On the same Hangman.
On the same Hangman page. They are on the same page to a degree. He will fist bump, he will tag in, he will tag out. He was never hogging the limelight. But they bumped heads at one point because I think Quinn pushed them into each other. And when they won, Hangman still had this look on his face, which was just like, I'm still not happy. I know we're winning and everything, but I'm not cool. This isn't cool.
And the proof is in the crowd reaction, because he is over. He is the most over he's ever been in that company.
Yeah, huh?
He's getting like just organic cowboy S-word chants to set off the match. They were chanting for Paige more than they were for Omega in the beginning of this match. And it's because of character and story. And it's just entwining perfectly. Remember where we were just a few months ago? He was main eventing the biggest AEW show ever, arguably, for the inaugural World Championship. And everyone was like, this is, something doesn't fit here. And one of the big success stories is they've gone back to the drawing board and they've just put him back at a sort of upper mid-card slot and slowly worked on this idea with him. And it all makes sense if you trace it back to that August shot.
Yeah, completely. I'm really, really enjoying this stuff here. My only hope for this, and I'm going to bring this up again later on as well, is that this affects the power rankings. Paige and Omega have got, I think they've only lost once as a team.
Mm.
Like, they've got a number of wins under their belt. As a unit, they feel like they should be in that top five power rankings for
the tag teams.
For the tag teams, yeah. And when you look at the Rhodes Brothers, when they beat Lucha Brothers later on in the show, that they beat the number three group in the number three team in AEW. Surely that should affect the power rankings. Because if the power rankings come out next week and neither of those teams are featured, or we get to Dynamite next week and it's not really mentioned, then these wins don't mean anything. And that kind of bugs me a little bit. And I'd like to see Paige and Omega going into this sort of like almost like a tag title journey where you can then do the breakup.
I think that's the perfect use of them. The tag division, it's after being very, very hot at the start. I think they've fallen victim to pushing too many teams. And now I feel like the tag champions are... I forgot that the SCU were the tag champions. Yeah. Or that the tag belts were a thing, because they've got all these other stories. I mean, for me, that proves my point of 2 months ago that the SCU weren't the right guys to put the belts on. But this... I think that to counter your... Or to balance out, rather, your criticism there, my big plus point of this show was how perfectly paced, the overall wrestling stories are. This is like, yeah, something slightly different happened from Paige and Omega's dissension last week. And you saw that throughout the show. The Cody MJF stuff is just being perfectly elongated. So you can have feuds that last 6 months and don't feel overexposed, where they fight every 3 weeks or they're in every segment together weekly.
Yeah.
It's been perfectly done. But what happened here is Omega and Paige won. Just a terrific match. A This Is Awesome chant from the crowd as well, with the sort of Private Party silly string spot. And it was a great near fall off the gin and juice on Omega.
I actually thought that was going to be the win then, until Paige broke it up.
And
which is actually also, sorry to cut you off there, brilliant again in that storytelling. It was Omega that was going to take the pin, and Paige was the one that made the
really,
save.
Really, really good. But then there was that Lariat V-Trigger combo.
Brutal.
Long-winged Angel. I think you had him beat before then, but no one kicks out of the Angel, and they win. But then Pac the Bastard appears on screen, remembering that he had a storyline with Nakazawa about 2 weeks ago.
Now. Someone got very upset with us on Twitter last week that we didn't watch that episode of AEW Dark where they did follow up on the Pac Nakazawa thing. I would argue that doing this backstage segment kind of proves our point that they also didn't care about that Dark segment, because A, they've never mentioned it on TV, and B, they just did it again.
Yeah. Yeah, so Pac has him in the Brutalizer. Loads of people are trying to break it up. Of course, Nakazawa, Omega's best mate. Omega runs back there. Paige doesn't.
Nope.
In fact, he takes a beer from a fan and just starts drinking with the crowd.
Drinking with the fans during the ad break.
Alcoholism is over. It's just a brilliant... Like, consider... Because alcoholism has been dealt with horribly in wrestling in the past.
Oh, yes,
with, like, the sort of WCW days, and it was Scott Hall, wasn't it?
Scott Hall, they also did it with...
Was Ric Flair?
They did it with Hawk in...
That was a concussion thing.
Hawk in WWF as well.
It's really insensitive and exploitative, as opposed to an actual story that serves something. And here I think they've got it. They've got the balance spot on. I love it.
I think he's an alcoholic.
Oh, no. Sorry, that's an extreme. But he is drinking because he is troubled.
Okay.
As a character. Yeah, that's more... Yeah, you're right. But I thought this whole... That the Omega page stuff is actually... my favourite thing on AEW at the moment. It's just so subtle and being perfectly told.
Yeah, I'm really, really enjoying it. I think I thought you might enjoy this opening match as well, because they didn't cut to the Omega video package.
I did notice that. So it's like, yeah, Paige comes out and then Omega comes out, but you only see him walking around in Tokyo on the screen. It doesn't go full screen because it doesn't need to go full screen. It's a boring shot of a bored-looking man walking around the street.
I think we could probably do away with it now because we're not doing that storyline. Yeah. But, I mean, I thought it was part of that storyline. Maybe I was just wrong. Mm. Maybe it's just Kenny thinks it looks cool.
Yeah, I don't know. Unfortunately, and remember, we did like this episode. I know I said I would have booked it differently in the main event, but those were tweaks, little tweaky tweaks on my Foreign Objects t-shirt here, which you can get at WrestleTalkMerch.com. But this next segment was unfortunately quite like, I think like across the board received bad. I haven't seen anyone defend this. I've seen a lot of people criticize it, and I agree with them.
I think this stuff is so bad, it's getting the Dark Order over.
Maybe that's the plan.
I think this is it, because now, like, the Dark Order got genuine heat in their segment. And I think it is because this stuff is so bad. I was like, man, it could be worse, I guess.
Yeah.
And, all right, so...
You run this down.
Chris Statlander and Riho had a match for the AEW Women's Championship.
Finally.
This was meant to happen last week, but Statlander was double booked, so they pushed it back to this week. They showed Shida and Britt Baker at ringside, both looking a little bit pissed off.
Not like this.
Not like that, no. This was good action that was then ruined by Nightmare Collective nonsense.
I was really into Statlander, Riho.
I genuinely thought they were going to put the belt on Statlander.
Really?
I really did, because I think this Riho experiment has... I think the month off has hurt this Riho experiment.
Yeah.
And she feels so under now that it's just like, do you know what? Let's just put it on someone new.
I
think it's hurting the belt.
You first brought this up to me last week, and now I can't not notice it. When she came out, I remember those pops she was getting in October.
Yep. They're not there anymore.
It's a sympathy... Not a sympathy pop. It's just a sort of reaction pop because you've heard some music.
That's exactly it. Mm. I think having a month off TV and not having any storyline going into full gear has really, really damaged her title reign. I think it has damaged the title.
Yeah.
And I think just keeping it on her is not doing it any favours.
Very short-sighted.
So it was, you know, it was good action between these two. They actually were having a really good match.
Second rope delayed suplex from Statlander on Riho. Because Statlander's so big compared to Riho being so small, I was really looking forward to them having a match.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Kong and Mel came down to ringside.
Is that her name, Mel?
Yeah, I mean, I originally wrote Shaved Head Lady.
the other one.
Then they called her Mel, and I was like, okay, cool, her name's Mel then. Mel threw Riho into the barricade. Statlander started taking out both Kong. When Kong took a bump, I got a bit concerned because, like, her knees are terrible.
I've seen Glow.
Yeah, right. So... anyway, what this led to was Brandy coming down from commentary. She was providing commentary during the match.
Not very good commentary.
Not very good. She comes down and she starts mouthing off at Statlander. And then from underneath the ring comes what feels like as many debuts as we've had as many weeks of TV at this point. Someone comes out from under the ring. It is Japanese deathmatch legend Luther. And the crowd die. Because the crowd don't know who it is. The crowd don't care. The match loses all of its momentum. They do some schmozzy stuff. Then they get back into the ring. And Jeebus bless them. These two tried to get this crowd back into this match with a series of very good near falls.
Yeah. I actually got back into the match.
I don't think the crowd did. Mm. I popped for one of them because I thought they might put the belt. I was still convinced they were putting the belt on Statlander. And then Kong trips Statlander and Riho pins her.
Yeah.
And then they get in the ring afterwards and beat them up. And then this is the only bit of the segment I liked, where you had Shida run in to make the save, and you had Big Swole and Sonny Kiss run down, and they cut to Britt Baker, who has got out of her seat and has then looked at it and gone like, actually no. And she just sat down in her seat and watched. I really, really liked that bit of it.
Furthers last week's heel teasers.
Exactly. Yeah, that's really good. It's keeping that plate spinning, but it was just a further advancement of that storyline. It was the one shot of this whole segment that I liked.
Well, I actually thought because I thought they were going to have a proper match. I think, again, this is a match that's been promoted for 3 weeks, one that we didn't get last week. The parallels with the Moxie Jericho stuff are quite strong, actually. So just give us a match. But they did this schmoz DQ. But I thought the first bit.
No, Riho won.
Yeah, sorry. What I mean is sort of interference. It wasn't clean. Right, yeah. But you're totally right. I did used wrong words. But I thought they were booking it really well, where Riho was taken out outside and then Statlander took out.
Because she's like, I want to have this match like that.
Yeah, and then on the other side, Statlander got taken out by Kong. So Riho took out Kong for that bump.
Because Riho actually had the opportunity to have the match won. But it's like, no, I'm going to dive onto everyone on the outside. Good stuff.
Brilliant, because you are keeping the sort of moral compass of the baby faces intact, and it's balanced out. Really smart booking. And actually, the finish, even though I don't agree with doing it, protects Rio's baby face personality because she didn't know that she had essentially cheated. Yeah. Very smart. But I just thought they should have a proper match by the end of it. And you use that interference as a bit of booking to heighten the drama as opposed to completely undermine it.
Completely.
But really, all the Nightmare Collective stuff and whatever, this Uncle Festus debut. a lot of people, I imagine, are going to go, well, you know, how dare you? That is Japanese deathmatch legend.
Those people who have gone to Wikipedia.
Look. I think I don't think it's crazy to say I know a lot about wrestling. I don't know who this guy is, and I would argue that a lot of the viewer, if I don't know who that guy is, a lot of the crowd aren't going to know, and a lot of the mainstream viewers aren't going to know. And apparently he's Chris Jericho's mate. He retired in 2006. What the hell's he going to do?
What does he add to the group?
Exactly. Apart from going like.
And it
was just doing this like quite tacky, hokey, I'm a deranged lunatic stuff, which, you know, might have gotten over in 1996, but it's 2020.
And it's yet another flat debut in AEW. And I really think this company hasn't done a solid surprise debut since Moxley.
Yeah, because I even agree. Swagger Hager was sort of looking confused most of the time. Yeah. That wasn't a home run. They haven't, for all the debuts they've done.
But they keep doing them.
Mm.
That's the other side of it. You can't keep doing surprise debuts and then expect them to still be, like, always get that massive pop.
Yeah.
Because we only had one of these a few weeks ago when the Butcher and the Blade debut. And before that, we only had one of them a couple of weeks before that when someone debuted.
Wardlow,
that's it, exactly. There's only so many times you can do this. And they've done it, like, four times in the last 4 months.
There was the Nightmare Collective. Set third person from the woman in the crowd. It's not good. You have a great roster already, but they're pathologically committed to getting new talent over, which isn't a bad strategy, but it's damaging.
Yeah. And it sucked all the energy out of this crowd as well. Yeah. Like you could actively feel this crowd be less interested when Luther debuted.
Then we got a video package for Superbad.
Like
Kip Sabian.
This. Yeah.
Yes. I much prefer this. Video packages are there for a reason. Very effective. I much prefer this to an angle where he comes and beats loads of people up.
Yeah. I thought this was really, really effective. Super effective, in fact.
Zach Myers in the crowd. Lead singer of Farewell.
I've written Shinedown.
Oh, I've got no... Wikipedia. I've got no idea who he is. I've got no idea.
No, I have no idea either. But I know who this next person is. Christopher Daniels taking on Sammy Guevara. Now, so, do you think it was intentional? The Arabian Press.
Sorry, I had a cheese toaster before we came in. Yeah, I'm very thirsty. No, I think it was a botch.
Okay.
And I think they very smartly built a storyline off of it. Either way, it's very smart.
Well, that's it, because I, like you, thought, oh, yeah, it was a botch and they've turned into a storyline. But when the angle that they showed of, like, him missing the Arabian Press, I was like, how did you... That must have been intentional. Because it was botched so badly, like, you must have done that on purpose.
I don't know.
But it's Daniels. That's the thing. It's
perfect.
And Daniels doesn't make these sorts of mistakes.
I mean, I can't think of any other recent examples where a major wrestling promotion has intentionally scheduled a weird botch angle.
Yeah. Hmm. Anyway. Daniel, they had a standard match, went through to ad break. But then when when Christopher Daniels was setting up to do the BME, best moonsault ever, Pentagon Jr. comes out onto the apron to shout him, being like, oh, I mean, you could try it if you want, but I probably wouldn't recommend it. And that distracted him to allow Sammy to pick up the win.
Hmm.
I thought it was good stuff.
I love anything Christopher Daniels does. I love him.
Love Daniels.
And if it was a botch all those weeks ago, which I think it was, I was taken aback by how many people started ragging on Christopher Daniels.
I was going to say, like, it's Christopher Daniels.
I know. Like, show the man some respect. Yeah. he's incredible. And I think this is the perfect use of him, working in this sort of mid-card level, getting over guys like Sammy.
That's exactly how you use him.
Really good use. I wasn't a fan of Penta. Like, you can have Penta come out and that be the finish, or you can have the Dark Order come out. I don't think you can have the both. I felt it was overcrowded.
Well, I think it's multiple storylines, because it was the match with Penta that the mm-hmm. move was botched, and it was Penta that was making fun of him, and that led Sammy to make fun of him as well. So yeah. I think it's keeping that plate spinning, that you're furthering this SCU Lucha Brothers stuff.
I get that. If I'm being hypercritical, I think it was an overcrowded segment. But yeah, that's what happened. Penta...
Yeah, I mean, you're right, because after you did that, you then bring out another team to...
Exactly. Penta caused a distraction, which led to Sammy winning, and then immediately after, the Dark Order come out, being like, do you want to... I've written too many luchadors.
Can I put my hand up on this?
Yep.
I like the Dark Order.
Well, I much prefer this. This is how they should be positioned, in this mid-card slot.
I kind of like it. I really like Uno. I think Uno's a really good talker. I really like his delivery. I love their look. I love Grayson.
I love Grayson.
I am a fan of this act. And this is the first time they've been over.
Mm.
So it was actually, I got quite a bit of a kick from this. When they got out and they got heat, I was like, yes, finally we're getting some heat here.
I think they were more over with the video packages. Like, just online, it was hashtag join Dark Order everywhere.
Yeah.
They had something there. Unfortunately, they jumped the gun too quickly.
That I'm in complete agreement with.
Mm. Dark Order offered the Master Daniels, and he threw it down instead, and SCU'd come down with the Bucks as well, so big brawl there, which is nice that they're carrying on the Bucks' involvement in this. They're not completely dropping that poorly received main event angle,
which I thought they might have
before
done.
Christmas Day, which I think this is the best balance. I wouldn't want them to drop it completely. That's too messy, but this is a good way to satisfy both sides. And then Daniels hits a best moonsault ever on Beaver Guy, I've written.
Yeah, I mean, I just wrote one of the creepers. Yeah, to show that he still got it.
What I loved in this was all the minions are taken, sorry, the creepers are taken out, but Stu Grayson
gets
slides
in and
into
goes,
the ring.
1, 2, 3, 4. Don't care.
Yeah.
I'm just going to fight all of you anyway. I thought I was wicked. I thought it was badass.
I think Grayson's awesome. Yeah. I thought that was a really cool spot.
And Uno was always out of the ring as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as this mob boss, I mean, he's a cult leader.
Yeah.
Never getting involved, actually, that was really, really nice.
After that, we got Lucha Bros versus Rhodes Bros.
Yeah, Shane, this all took place in the ad break.
Yeah, I you know, you advertise a match like this, I want all of it.
Yeah, right. I said this in about 4 minute review. In hindsight, I wish this had been saved for a pay-per-view.
Mm, yeah.
And we could have had the full first time ever Rhodes Brothers, Lucha Brothers.
Yeah, it was still great.
Yeah,
still amazing.
Great stuff. Phoenix, man.
I know.
When he does his sort of like reverse 619 thing and then steps out and does this big roundhouse kick,
yeah,
it's bonkers.
So Arn Anderson's out there again. I've written that his covering the mouth with these notes is the best spot in wrestling right now. I think it's incredible. Brilliant stuff from all four men. Unfortunately, there was a bit where Dustin was going over to make a hot tag. Phoenix had to get a chair.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they thought this was going to work, because the referee can see all of this. So Dustin can have always made that tag. Arn Anderson comes over and pulls the chair out of
Phoenix's
hand.
Kicks the chairs out of his hand.
Which is great. Like, that's cool use of Arn. But it was never going to work anyway. Dustin could have made the tag. Dustin's just stranded in the middle of the ring, complete, like, standing upright. Mm. And then he has to kind of sell again and then build up the hot tag. That, like, the middle part of this match that was completely mistimed.
They'd overbooked it. Yeah, completely.
But it's like, there's overbooking and then there's booking something that would have worked in the first place. I just don't see how that could have ever made sense.
An excellent point.
but it, you know, That was a problem, but overall, this was great, great stuff.
Cody hits a springboard cutter, and then Dustin hit the final reckoning for the win. I'm not expecting them to be in the power rankings because their win-loss record as a team is, what, 2-0? Mm-hmm. And I don't think Goldust's singles record is strong enough to get them into the power rankings.
Hasn't it been reset now? They did put up their new rankings.
But you've also got to keep in account of your overall score as well. Because it does say like your 2020 score and your overall and your career score. But I do think that the Lucha Brothers will be knocked down the power rankings because, you know, they got beat by a team that's not even in the top five.
Yeah, they should be. Tony Schiavone interviews Cody afterwards, but Arn grabs the mic instead and sort of answers about the MJF stuff.
Yeah, he said, no one told me he was God, that he gets to make the rules. Mm. So we're going to have a chat about this. I'll let you know next week.
Yeah, so great pace and elongate this feud out. Then we got Lanny Poffo.
Yeah, Lanny Poffo gets a promo with Alex Marvez backstage.
Randy Savage's brother, if you're unfamiliar.
The genius Lanny Poffo, who got the most genius deal in WCW. Oh. Because Eric Bischoff was just signing anyone, particularly if one of his really top stars said, like, sign this person. Because, like, Hulk was like, sign all my mates. Mm. Randy's like, sign all my mates. So they sign his brother.
I wonder how Luther got his job.
Exactly right. So Lanny signs this millions of dollar deal, guaranteed millions of dollar deal. And I think in the many years that he was there, he was used twice.
Yeah.
And they never even flew him out to the building. He would just sit at home and just collect this massive paycheck every single year.
Not bad.
Not bad, man.
Yeah, smarter than Kevin Nash, if you go by Kevin Nash's reckoning. That Lanny is just an incredible talker.
Yeah, great talker.
They tried him out on New Japan commentary last year.
That's right, they did.
Not the right fit, but he is a fantastic talker. And they recap the whole Memphis Legends thing. It seems like that was more of a gimmick to sell live event tickets, as all the stuff happened on the pre-show.
They said it's going to wear on Dark next week. So it was there for Marvez to push Dark. Did you see Jerry Lawler's comments about this?
No, I didn't.
Where he said that they're only doing this Legend of Memphis thing to sell tickets and draw some interest. It's like, yeah.
They're a wrestling promotion. That's
exactly why they're doing it, Jerry. My favorite comment I've seen about that, I think it was Trevor Dame who said, that man's only had sex so he can have an orgasm.
Speaking of having sex and bang, MJF came out next. And he's just doing some brilliant heel work. He's doing his entrance in the ad break. But you can see him tearing up signs. There's this big sign opposite the hard cam that says MJF is a virgin. He tore up one sign, folded it in half, hit someone round the head with it. Hit a fan in the head. And this fan is like, yes, I have been hit. It was just great stuff.
It was great.
He gets into the ring afterwards. He tells Cody to come out. He's his little bitch. But then out comes DDP.
Oh, I got excited when I heard DDP's music. Because when he had his segment last year, when he gave and he had to give MJF the ring, there was a little bit in my me was like, oh man, what if we're going to get another DDP match? I'd actually really like another DDP match.
Going back even to the scarf angle, he was one of the four men that came out there as well.
So when he came out again, I was like, we're getting a DDP match. Yes, we're getting a DDP match. I got super excited for a DDP match. Yeah.
I think it's going to happen. Well, it is happening. Well,
it's happening next week.
So DDP comes in. He plugs DDPY, Instagram, Twitter, and he gets an AEW chant going. The man's an incredible promo.
So DDP and Lanny Poffo did way better at getting over AEW than Jim Ross did, who at one point in the show called it AWE. I want to point out as well, you can see while DDP's cutting this promo, MJF's on his phone. I thought he was just checking Twitter, but no, he was actually tweeting and he's tweeted, will this old fart ever shut up?
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
DDP calls him Motormouth Jackoff Friedman.
Yep.
DDP talks about everyone asking him for one more match, but MJF says, well, I've got the Butcher and the Blade here instead. WCW's Ted and you're old. You know, all the stuff that DDP was a great promo. And you think, well, you know, I hope MJF isn't shown up here. And then MJF just annihilates him.
Yeah.
Because he goes on that little rant. And at the end, he says, and when it's all said and done, I'm going to take one of your diamond daughters, bend her over, and bang. Oh, my God. Just like, and then he said, kiss the ring. That was money.
And it made me, like, I was so into DDP when he then grabbed him by the throat, because I'm like, yeah, you get him.
Yeah.
You get him, Dallas.
That twerp just said he's going to bang your daughter in front of your face. That's like, yeah, I just thought that was such an effective way to build a wrestling feud.
And then he hits a pair of cutters on The Butcher, The Blade. Tries to hit one on MJF, but get caught with some Wardlow stuff. Low blow from MJF. And they were about to beat him down, and QT Marshall and Dustin ran in to make the save. That's a match next week. Six-man tag is QT Marshall, Dustin, and DDP versus Butcher, Blade, and MJF.
Yeah, so DDP can be protected and all of that.
Yeah,
the man can. I reckon the man can still go.
I think it's going to be great. Yeah,
So either he just does a few moves or he properly wrestles. I would hold him off till I want a singles match.
Yeah, totally.
On a steel cage.
But like, it's DDP wrestling on live wrestling on TNT in the year 2020. You know, the last time he'd have done that would have been 2001.
Did you like it?
I did like it, mate.
What was wrong with the Big Show then?
Wait, what?
On Raw in 2020.
DDP's been gone for 20 years.
but you're
absolutely right. Mm. Maybe so I'm into Diamond Dallas Page and I'm not into Big Show.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But like, DDP has been gone longer.
Yeah.
And hasn't had 100 right, DDP, 100 face turns. Best Friends versus Jurassic Express came up next.
It's also not the main event.
Did I say main event?
No. I said Big Show's not.
Oh, not in the main event. Yeah.
Save myself there.
This six man is just inspired.
I said this to you yesterday. I said, do you know what's on Dynamite tonight? I said they're having a six man tag between Jurassic Express and the Best Friends and Orange Cassidy. And then we were like, I mean, it's been booked to annoy Jim Cornette.
Yeah.
But I'm super into it.
It was probably the most over thing on the entire show.
Yeah.
And it's just, it was fun. It wasn't this intense wrestling feud. It wasn't even amazing wrestling. It was just people who are over, two comedy characters that are incredibly over. Out of note, like Marco Stunt, I'm actually quite surprised by. I never really thought he could get to that place in the fans' hearts, but he has, and in mine as well. This was just booked perfectly.
Yeah, it was so much fun. Cassidy, when Cassidy tagged in, the roof came off the place. They even said on commentary, that's a pop.
Yeah.
Like when Cassidy came in, and all he's doing is nothing.
Yeah.
But then we'll do some stuff, and the crowd go even more bonkers for it. I thought this was so much fun. I thought it was great.
I very rarely shout at my lady partner at 7:30 a.m. when I watch this and tell her to come in and watch something. When Orange Cassidy got that tag, I was like, Anna! Anna! Get in here now! I paused it.
Yeah.
I was like, get in here. And she's like, what is it? And I played it. And he just does the little kicks. And he went, And then she walked off. But she's not the point. It's how much I was into it.
I was into it when Luchasaurus got the hot tag.
Oh, Luchasaurus versus Cassidy.
Yeah. I just loved everything about this. But there is actually a bit of, you know, storyline in this. And I thought the selling of this was fantastic. Jungle Boy got the pin.
Mm.
Jungle Boy, I think he pinned Chucky T.
Yeah.
And that is his first win in AEW.
Ah.
And he sold that. Like when he got, he hit the Dragon Runner and got the pin. He looked at the referee, even sort of like, oh my God, you pinned someone. And he looked at him, he's like, three? Marco Stunt runs in and they all hug. Luchasaurus gets in and he hugs both of them. He's like, yeah, our boy won a match.
That's
yay.
Brilliant.
I thought it was really well told stuff.
Really good. Yeah, really good. I thought I can see why people wouldn't like that, because if you're not into these guys, you're going to hate it, probably.
We are
into it. Give us that one.
Yeah.
I think that's a beautiful... I actually missed that, but that's a beautiful little character piece. Hopefully they carry on with it.
And they announced for the Jericho Cruise, Jurassic Express versus the Inner Circle of Jericho, Santana, and Ortiz. And they also announced at Bash of the Beach, we're going to get, as we said earlier, MGF, Butcher and Blade versus DDP, Dustin and QT. We're also getting Chris Statlander and Hikaru Shida versus Awesome Kong and Mel. I'd imagine Mel's going to do the majority of that work.
Yeah.
And we're also getting Pac versus Darby Allin. Yes, please.
So we've got a Bash at the Beach next week. Patent pending. And the
I think they got away with
this one. Yeah, it looks like it. And the Cruise the following week.
That's correct.
I don't like summer themes in January. It feels weird.
It's because like they're like, well, we're in Miami, so I guess we could call it Bash of the Beach. Like, who's going to the beach in January?
It's just...
Mate, America is hotter.
But it
so
would
maybe they do go to the beach in
but
January.
But I don't think their mindset, like, whose mindset is beach in January? Maybe. I love the theme shows. Save them for 6 months.
Awesome. Like, do you know what? I'm not going to care, but everyone better be in Hawaiian shirts next week.
Yeah.
If the commentary team are not in Hawaiian shirts, if there is no sand and surfboards, this has been a colossal waste of time.
Mm, yeah. Oh, I agree. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm going to quit on AEW.
Oh, I will quit
it's
all of it.
Dead to
it's
me dead if those Hawaiian shirts aren't there. We should have Hawaiian shirts. I'm making a note now.
Yep,
I'm
get
making
it now.
A reminder. You start with this. I give it a 3 out of 5.
Same here.
Okay, do the super chats.
I was going
to the Patreon shout-out. You start the Patreon shout-out.
I thought I would just leave some dead air as well.
I've got to do the Hawaiian shirts. Have you got one?
No.
I've got like 2. I'll bring one in for you.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Wednesday. It's on the to-do list.
I'm a sharp-dressed man, as you can see, wearing my Powerline t-shirt.
Josh De Dominics. This was my favourite ending to Dynamite so far. Mox feels the closest thing to a Stone Cold-like character we've had. Really hope he blows up that car.
So I was thinking from the next week, man.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, okay. Maybe I just think I love the visual when it's someone standing behind the other person and the other person doesn't know it's happening.
Dude, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
You can still do that and blow up the car the following week.
Lee Spicer. Brandy is terrible, that is all.
Yeah.
She's not worked out well. No.
No.
Good toy, 25. I'm going to be at Bash at the Beach next week. Can't wait for that Pac versus Darby and DDP.
Oh, mate, you what a lineup you've got.
You better wear a Hawaiian shirt.
100%. Absolutely.
And you better send us a picture of you in a Hawaiian shirt. If you do, we'll get the TV back here and we will put that picture of you in the Hawaiian shirt in the TV.
Completely.
Anton H. Brandy reminded me of Ronda burying wrestling. So I guess that's when Ronda talked about it being fake?
Yeah, when she went on and was like, oh, wrestling's fake, by the way.
I didn't get any of that from Brandy.
No, I didn't get that from Brandy.
She was just bad in a different way.
Yeah.
Matthew Shiel, I'm glad there is a story in the women's division.
This reminds me a lot of... So when you and I said that we weren't fans of the Chris Statlander gimmick, we actually had quite a lot of... I had some emails and I had some tweets from people going like, but it's her own gimmick. She came up with it. It's like, I mean, it's cool. Doesn't mean I have to like it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the same thing here. It's like, I know we've been asking for storylines in the women's division. Doesn't mean just because now we've got one, I have to like it.
Mm, yeah.
So it's not a good story.
Yeah. And, the Nightmare Collective stuff is no good. The Britt Baker story, however, I'm actually into.
Yeah, that I really like.
Mike Montiel, is Brandy booking the women's division? Bad booking.
She's the head of the women's division. I know that much.
Yeah, so it's kind of, maybe it's the split responsibility and it's just, you know, it's too many cooks because the idea is Kenny is in charge of all the Japanese wrestlers and Brandy's heading up the US side of things. And Brandy has arguably gone too American and done these stupid Nightmare Collective things. And Kenny has just not pushed, like, not given anyone characters. So gone the Japanese way.
I honestly don't know how you could look at your promotion, see what you're doing with the Dark Order, and then think, huh, well, I'm sure we could just do another group like
that. Yeah, yeah. Anton H again. Gedo made New Japan and Kenny great. AEW isn't Gedo. So maybe Gedo should just book everything.
Maybe. Maybe that's the answer.
Yeah, but well, they often say, like, wrestlers are great creative resources and they can offer loads of storylines and ideas themselves and character insights to inform larger stories. But ultimately, you need someone at the top making those decisions.
The Vince McMahon.
Yeah, you need a Vince McMahon. Vince Russo was great feeding ideas to Vince McMahon who could filter them.
That's what I always said about Vince Russo, is he would offer 100 ideas and Vince would accept one of them.
Mm. Yeah, so maybe, you know, Kenny's got loads of ideas, but he didn't really have anyone above him to say, oh, are you sure that, you know, booking you to be rubbish for 6 months on the launch of the promotion is a good idea?
You're saying you want to have you walking bored through Shibuya is what you have as your start of your video package?
Matthew Shiel, I want to see them do Kong versus Nyla in the future. Agreed. I don't know how you can actually do that, though, because Nyla sort of looks so good when she just destroys people, and Kong can't take that many bumps because of her health. Ian Berkeley, who gets a win first, Peter Avalon or the Beaver Boys, Reynolds and Silver?
Well, it's got to be Reynolds and Silver, otherwise the Dark Order thing doesn't work.
Canal Improbabile. Very solid and consistent episode for me as well. I'd say 4 out of 5. One of the best. Wow. Clearly WWE's payment came in and Ollie's AEW bias is no longer. Hashtag a big one.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to get a big one.
Well, a big one t-shirt.
Laughing emoji. Yeah, well, you know, cheers, Vince.
Thank you.
We're very fickle with who we get our things from. Quinn Stewart. Who is the one WWE main event talent who would do the most good for AEW? Brock Lesnar, I think, is quite, you know, if you want to...
John Cena.
Yeah, you got to say the actual mainstream names there. I'll pass over to you.
Chris Blass says, watching you guys since 2017. It's my birthday today as well. Do you believe that Jericho should hold the title for a whole year? And if he does, do you think someone from the inner circle like Sammy should face him?
Well, happy birthday.
Happy birthday indeed, Chris.
Yes, I do think it should be at least for a year. I don't think any of those... I haven't seen anything to make me want that kind of story from the other inner circle guys.
Kenny should be the guy to win the belt.
Or Cody. I know. I don't know how.
I think it's good. Their match at Revolution, Cody and Mox, is going to be very interesting considering that Mox has got his opt-out. Reportedly, he's got an opt-out. You know, he can be there for a year and then opt out of his 3-year contract. Jay Meitzer says, I think Paige is the Dark Order member with blood on his hands. It was a drunken mistake.
That's a nice little... thing, like maybe the Dark Order have got something on him, and ways they inform their cult is by blackmailing people with information.
And you did say that you weren't into it being Brandon Cutler because, I mean, who cares about Brandon Cutler? But yeah, people care about Paige. And he is, you know, he is winning now. Vincent Mileage says, the Dark Order should absorb the Trash Collective, because if I see them on my screen again, I'm just going to switch over to NXT and watch AEW on my DVR. Now, that's quite an extreme thing to have them turn off the entire show because you don't like one thing, but they are rubbish.
They are rubbish, and you're like, oh, do I watch the next 15 minutes of this, or do I just flip onto the other channel? And if the other channel's got something good and hooks you in,
you're going to stay there.
So it is, when you're in a war, you really have to consider this sort of stuff.
Which is why I also think it was a smart move for them not to have the Legends of Memphis thing. Because when they announced that, I was like, well, there's a channel changer. Wilson Simon says, y'all nailed it. AEW is too nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's their problem. They respect other companies too much.
OGP, Dadon Baskin McGlory. I explained to my boy that Orange Cassidy can do a 450, and now he wants Orange Cassidy on a pay-per-view, and it's saved until then.
Orange Cassidy can do a 450. Oh, God, I can't wait for that spot when he eventually busts it out, hands in pockets.
No hands, yeah. Oh. Nate Drop Surname, thoughts on if broken Matt Hardy is the exalted one, obviously in the Dark Order. But then that makes him feel like he's the leader. Uno needs to be the leader. I've seen so many people have said it should be Marty. Uno's the leader of that group. Having another leader come in just completely undermines everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I think broken Matt is strong enough to stand on his own. Yeah. Phoenix says, love you guys. Going to watch the rest of the stream tomorrow.
Oh.
Well, hello from the past.
Hello from the past indeed.
Ooh-ah. Ooh-ah. Is that a Goofy movie shirt, Luke?
It is. I drunkenly bought this after I watched a Goofy movie and I cried because I got so happy at the end when they all danced together. And I was like, I watched then a load of clips from them at D23 singing all the songs live. And then I was like, I wonder if I can get a Powerline t-shirt. And I found one and I bought it.
Imagine how many t-shirts Hangman Page has ordered over the last month. Tim Arndt, my mindset in January is beach. I'm an Australian.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, that works. Goiti 25
Maybe
again.
It's just because we're so British. Like, no matter what time of year it is, I'm never thinking
I'm
beach.
Goiti 25 or Gatui 25. I live in Miami. There is no such thing as cold weather here. All year is beach time.
That's what I said, man. Okay. It's a hot country.
Again, Hawaiian shirts all year round. Benny Sato, Tommy's number one fan. Hashtag justice for Andy Datsun. Stripper Ollie shirts, please.
And thank you to Beth Beakey for your donation and no comments. This email comes in from Tron Bow, who says, thank you for your almost daily show. Last August, I was in a car accident at work that totaled my work vehicle and put me in a very long road to recovery. Your show became personal to me as I was struggling to get better and rehab my body and be away from my job. It was a difficult time. My wife and I had just purchased our first home and moved to a different city, and having this car accident on top of all these new changes was overwhelming. Sorry, you had a question.
Well, I was just... it's, you know, when you think something's a good idea to chip in with, mm-hmm. and then you should have just carried on. I was going to say Road to Recovery, but then it kept on getting sadder.
Yeah.
Because you made a good pun because of the...
So I would like to thank you guys for putting me in for putting out such entertaining quality product. You provided me with many hours of fun and lovely time with the boys. I noticed that you never got a t-shirt in reference to me that came out with all the new ones. So I've made you one. Merry Christmas, wow. Luke. Thank you for your hard work. It does not go unnoticed. It is actually a
Luke's
picture of
face
me
on Kota Ibushi's body.
It's a picture of me dressed up as The Undertaker, and it says, "One more soul, Vince."
That's amazing.
Very
like
good.
It. Did you do your TW
did it
against
it
them?
Didn't get over
did
last
it not
week.
Get over last
the,
week?
The only comments about it were people going like, "Why? What's with the T?" I'm trying something new. It didn't work.
You've been workshopping that for months.
I have. It was such a good joke as well.
So everyone else would have just listened to this, but you know, we record this part before the main bulk of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hopefully, it all went well and you were satisfied with my bit of fantasy booking. I don't feel like we've done any fantasy booking for a while.
We have not.
I had a pretty good idea of it this morning, but I've been stuck in a loop of second-guessing myself. And all I have now in my notes is throw keys into crowd. That's all I've got to work off.
So
everything else is going to be from my brain.
I mean, you'll have already heard it by the time you get to this point.
I hope it went well. Sorry if it didn't.
Anyway, this email comes in from Nate, who says, "Hi there, Luke, Ollie, Pete, and the rest of Talk Gang. Even you, Blake Ham, you piece of crap. I've been struggling with depression a lot recently. My wife and I have 8 kids and a new baby coming on February 7th.
9 kids!
Now, that sounds like a lot of stress alone.
Yeah,
but
it does!
But our kids are super great and don't give me my normal dad stress. What's been getting at me is the pregnancy complications. My wife has a condition called placenta acridia. Sorry if I said that wrong. Which is where the placenta attaches to the uterus.
They're not a good band either. Sorry, again, not the time.
I thought their self-titled album from 94 was great. Anyway... We're also seeing where the placenta is getting bigger and it should be, and it will cut through during the C-section. I've also found out that she will need to have a hysterectomy at the same time. This has given me nightmares and depression full on. She will be at risk for hemorrhage and possible death. With this placenta growing, could put our baby in danger as well. This all being said, you have all been very refreshing and fun to listen to during this difficult time for me. I've also really struggled with wrestling as a whole. Then I have cable TV, so I don't get to watch all my wrestling in recaps. So I have to watch all my wrestling in recaps, which is great for Raw and SmackDown, but doesn't do much for me when I'm watching NXT and AEW. Love your content, always bright outlook on life, and how you make me laugh just when I need it. I'm looking forward to 2020, a safe and happy family, and my wife and newborn daughter at home. I don't know where you guys are on faith or religion, but say a prayer for my wife Megan and daughter Gracie Jo to get here safe, and we can all go home together. Keep up the consistent and amazing work. You are the podcast I anticipate each day. Sorry for the long email, but I've been holding this in for a while. Peace and good fortune to you and your families in Christ, Nate.
Oh, never apologize, Nate. That's amazing. I really do hope everything's okay, of course. I mean, I can't imagine what that would be like to worry not just about, you know, whether the baby's going to come out okay, but the health of your wife as well.
Mm.
Oh, you know, like I love my lady partner more than anything in the world. And, you know...
It's okay, I don't take offense to that.
And she's just all right. So imagine how strong you feel to yours. So, yeah. Keep us up to date, though.
Please do.
Well, we're here for you, buddy, as is the SWAF Nation.
Indeed. And do you know who else is all together in this? SWAF Dunder. This comes Swapped in from under. Josephine, who says, "Hi
they
there.
Want us to get naked. That's what I'm hearing. The feedback.
I've been inspired to email in. Actually, going by the comments, that's the last thing anyone wanted.
What?
I know. I was actually a little bit disappointed.
Oh, I thought I was not going to use it to raise money. I was going to use it for the million subscriber. Oh, but before we get into this, I saw the news report on, you know, it's all awful down there. Of course it is. But the koala.
I know.
In a cast.
Yeah.
He's got a broken arm because its mum threw it from a tree to save herself but save him.
For a second, I thought you were going to say, I just saw the news story about Meghan and Harry leaving the UK. And how awful that is. And I'm like, yeah, it's really terrible how our British media has essentially driven them out of this country because they're all awful, awful people.
Who, the royal family?
Well, I mean, they're bad people, but the British media are just about the worst people in the world.
Mm, don't worry, Pizza Express are hiring.
Hey!
But sorry, back to the very serious topic.
I've been inspired to email and after listening to the end of the Wrestle Talk podcast in regards to the bushfire crisis we're having here and say a big thank you to everyone who has sent prayers and support to my country. I live in a small farming township in New South Wales, and even though we haven't been directly threatened by fire, we have been hit heavily with crisis emerging from it. Every day we're dealing with sickness from smoke pollution and heavy drought. Our town water supply has hit zero, where our town water supply would normally be pumped from. There is no water at all, and now we're getting water trucked in every day. Our severe level 4 water restriction since November, we're aiming at 87 litres of water per person per day. In comparison, a person would normally get 180 to 200 litres per day. This is what it's like all over the country, with monthly rainfall of less than 5 millimetres, where it would normally be 100 millimetres plus. Normally in bushfire season, there would be flowing rivers, creeks and dams, and they act as a containment. Lines of trees would be green to fully catch the light, but this year it's been so dry everywhere that the fires have been obviously been devastating. There's been a total fire ban everywhere, meaning we can't even light a barbecue. Along with this comes the cough, fevers and pneumonia people getting from the smoke pollution. And I haven't even mentioned the people who have lost everything to these fires, like their lives and homes or loved ones, or the losses of native animals and their natural habitat, or the loss of agriculture and tourism industry that is mostly made up of smaller family-owned businesses that are currently being unemployed. All I want to say is that I know a lot of people here are suffering, and I want to say thank you to Luke and Ollie and anyone who has been praying for and supporting the causes of my country. As I finish off writing this cyclone on the... a cyclone on the coast of the West Australia has just started dunking a massive rain here, so your positive energy must be doing something. Thank you for being you. Keep up the great work. Can't wait for the WrestleTalk nude calendar charity edition.
Well, you might be waiting a bit longer.
So Josephine wants one, is basically the...
Well, yeah, hang in there, Josephine. Absolutely. I hope you appreciate our manifested gift of another terrifying natural disaster was it a typhoon or a cyclone?
Cyclone.
And that's one that comes from... No, a typhoon is one that comes from the sea into land?
He was one of the natural disasters.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, he did win the WWF tag team titles at one point.
Yeah, but yeah. I'm not very good at offering, you know, support, but we are all thinking of you.
It's awful. I actually had like an email I wanted to end this episode off with about Doctor Who. Which is why I ended on a bit of a lighter note. But unfortunately, we've now got to get out of here because we've got a live show.
Great
today.
Time management.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you. Well, that's because we had to fix the camera. Anyway, thank you all so much for listening. We've got another episode out today, which is the NXT review with Laurie and Simon?
Yep.
Yeah, Laurie and Simon. And then I guess we'll be back tomorrow for the magazine show. And then Saturday for SmackDown. Thank you very much. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.